she, I know.
My ghost is finally ready.
Oh.
Timer on. All right. Welcome back to episode 3 of Down and Dirty. Today, I have with me one of my bestest, craziest, finest, sexiest, best friends.
Keep going.
Ever. Truly an icon. I'm so freaking excited for you guys to hear all he has to say.
Well, it's your words, not mine. So,
let me introduce you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So, without further ado, my guest will introduce himself.
You are going to introduce me.
You are going to introduce yourself.
Okay.
So, you are going to give name, just where you're from, and what's your vibe today? How are you feeling?
Hi, my name is Yancy Bolanos.
It begins.
I'm from Wichita, Kansas. Okay. And my vibe is no vibes.
Ooh.
That's the out of 2025. No vibe. No more vibes. What's a vibe exactly? You know what I mean?
A vibe is what you make it. Can you
actually, I could make a sandwich.
Can you actually introduce yourself?
Yes. My name is Bolano Tiansi.
Lolo.
All right. My name is Lolo.
Mm-hmm.
Better known as Lolo. And I'm from a little quaint town known as the place where I'm from. And the vibe that I'm bringing to this table and to this meeting and endeavor is peace.
Peace.
What?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Very good. So today we have a different type of episode planned for you guys. We're kind of just going to dive in and debate a few topics that I think that you would like to hear.
I think it's interesting that you brought me for the debate episode.
Yeah, well, I think you're a good debater. Everyone has their...
Debater? I hardly know her. Sorry.
Everybody has their little thing so far. Lolo can debate for days, and he can really apply that pressure. So we are going to begin, but also we are finally in the studio. Okay, I've been filming out of town.
We're in Hollywood. We're literally in Hollywood right now.
Yeah.
If you see the cars right out there,
mm-hmm.
They're like passing by. They're doing the Hollywood tours at the moment.
Exactly.
Wait.
Hi, guys. So we're just living.
That was the middle finger.
But sorry. We are actually where I will be filming a lot, which is my home.
No, you can't say that because then they're going to come, the killer.
Why does it have to be so negative?
That's true. Come to this specific address. What's the address?
Where I'm from.
That is true.
Zip code 123.
I think there's more than three. Anyway.
We will now begin today's episode. So first question, Lolo, what's an insecurity that you've struggled with the most and how do you deal with it?
I wasn't screened beforehand about these questions.
One knows the questions before. Also, let me just preface and say that before you begin to answer this question, it doesn't have to be deep and think about your childhood and your teenagehood. Just think about the first thing that comes to mind. It could be something that you struggled with last week, last month, the past 10 years, whatever it is. What is that insecurity?
When my mom left us. No, I can definitely say that I've definitely struggled with confidence and feeling secure in what I do and who I am. And I think turning 27 on Monday, this past Monday, thank you.
Ooh,
it has definitely been I've reflected a lot thus far, and I think in the certain changes that I've been making leading up to this new birth date to 27, I feel like I've been in a much better place and I feel much more confident, I think.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, where is your confidence right now? 10 being super, 1 being none.
My confidence now, based off of certain things that I've been able to notice in this certain this life transformation, has me feeling like a 10. Though there are days where I feel like a 1, obviously, but so far this has been the fiercest streak of staying at a 10, I think.
Okay, and how do you deal with this confidence insecurity?
How do I deal with, like, days where I don't feel confident?
Yeah.
Ooh, negative thoughts and I die. I think of, I like to, as of now, I'm holding on to the feelings of when I do feel happy and try to replicate that as best as I can. Not exactly how, but I'll try to replicate it. Like, you know what I mean?
So if you feel down and not confident, you'll think of happy and confident.
Not necessarily. I'll think of the moment when I was happy, or what is it that made me happy, whether it be like, oh, well, I think getting a haircut will make me feel better.
Okay.
Or like taking pictures will make me feel better, because I haven't taken photos in a while. And now, yeah, I've just started doing that again. And I think it's not the same. That happiness isn't going to be the same as it once was. But I think trying to replicate it is more of like a love letter to myself. Right.
Okay. Okay. That makes sense.
How about you?
How about me?
Yeah.
Yeah. An insecurity that I've dealt with, I think, would be my inconsistency. I think I could say confidence, but I think me not being confident for the past few years has resulted in a lot of other negative traits within myself. And I think the number one thing that will get me to confidence is being consistent. And I think that I'm not as consistent with myself as I tend to be to everyone else. Like, I'm a very consistent person in everybody's life.
You are.
But I'm not a consistent person in my own life. So, I mean, I'm working on it. I think my fiercest streak was this past month.
No, you've been on it.
Yeah, I have.
We have a studio now. We're literally in a studio. Hollywood studio.
And we have a new job. This podcast is my new baby. So yeah, I'm definitely working on it, and it's a struggle. I mean, I think we'll always struggle with being confident. I think there's a lot of pressure on us in general from all sources, but we'll get into that a bit later. I want to know, you are my first male on my show.
Wait, what?
Okay.
Don't assume my gender.
My first male. I'll start.
Whoa.
So it's very important to me, because I've had now two women and completely different. Jackie's almost 30. Vanessa is a mother. She's in her 50s. But you are my first guy. So.
Just sad. Right.
Oh, my gosh.
Not yet.
All right. So that being said, I want to know how men deal with insecurities.
Well, I think it's important to differentiate men and gay men.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I think.
And you can lead that path, because I obviously know nothing about a gay man.
Well, I thought you were a gay man. Anyways, so I am. I think what's different between gay men and straight men is that straight men, just more or less so, I think there's a certain type of straight man who is focused on their appearance as much as, I don't want to say like a gay man would, but, you know, obviously hygiene and appearance is important, and taking care of that is important. And there are just straight men who don't necessarily like Dove soap to the face and body, that kind of thing, versus like, I am getting into like skincare and wanting to like, you know, make sure that my body is, you know, good and,
yeah,
you know, and stuff like that. But I didn't rephrase that.
We're also not talking in general, right? Like, he's not saying the general population of straight men don't do skincare. Because if you're a straight man doing skincare, don't feel offended by that. It's just, I also
agree. Let's reword that question.
But I also agree. I don't think the question needs to be reworded. I think it's very factual what you said, because I've lived it with all the straight men in my life. There's a certain point where they just don't care that a gay man will do the most for themselves, in a sense. Like, A gay man in my eyes has always been super clean, very organized.
It's more about an appearance thing. Not to say that certain straight men don't care about that as well, but I think with gay men, there is a much more need to, you know, like have a better appearance just based off of the fact that that gay men can also be as catty as women. And the way that women have to constantly, like, you know, I feel like women are constantly battling with each other. I feel like gay men also are as well, which is very interesting.
Yes.
And I think straight men is like, hey, man, nah, like, you, like, they won't even know that, you know.
Yeah.
Yo, you used Dove soap this morning? Nah. Like,
or they just don't even, maybe they do and they just don't want to talk about it because of the negative connotation that would come with it, that, oh, dude, that's gay. Yeah. Like, you're doing skincare.
In your cuticles?
Yeah. Like,
you know what I mean? Whoa.
Whoa.
I can say it. She can't. Well, maybe.
That's such a harsh word.
Oh, you're right.
No more F words.
Strag it.
I think men definitely have struggles dealing with their insecurities. Women, on the other hand, women and their insecurities.
I mean,
they are just crazy. I think a lot of girls, like, it's hard to find a girl's girl. And the definition of that is a girl that just doesn't hate on other women.
It's a societal thing. It's a societal pressure thing of, like,
yeah,
what
really
the current thing is. And I think, like, girls trying to keep up with that, it is stressful. And obviously stress doesn't bring the best out of us. So I think it happens to a lot more than what we know, right? But I think with women, I think it's more visible, and, you know, they talk more about it. And I guess gay men to a certain degree, but straight men don't really talk about it at all.
They don't talk about it at all. And I think the insecurities between both are probably a little, for example, women can be insecure about their bodies. Okay. I think the first thing when you say an insecure woman, people think it's her body, because that's just the pressure. But men have the same pressure, you know? And I think people don't think about it as much because we see the girls go get BBLs and get their boobs done.
I have one scheduled, yeah.
But you don't really see a guy doing that. But they're the same. Like, everyone struggles with their body image. Everyone struggles with, maybe they don't like something on their face. Like, I really want that to be known. Like, I want people to understand that men and women are both facing all types of insecurities, whether it's emotional, physical, mental, whatever it is.
I think it's opening the space for men to feel comfortable.
Yeah.
To speak about it. Whether, again, are we the ones that are going to revolutionize that? You know, not necessarily, but
yeah,
there is the idea that this can be a safe space where you can talk about things that are bothering you. Because I think guys are more of just like, nah, man, I'm getting big. I'm trying to go to the gym. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they usually just go to the gym. Versus they're much more like, I think when they speak up about it is when they're going to do something.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Like, unpack it, you know? It's okay to unpack what you say to yourself in your head every day. It's not going to make you any less of a masculine man. It's not going to make you any less of a woman to wake up and say, oh my God, I feel horrible and fat today. It's a human thing. They're human feelings.
Clap if you're human.
You know what I mean? I'm clapping. I don't have hands. Well, I have hands, but we can't really move. I have a mic and
a dance as well. Yeah.
why do we care so much about how people perceive us?
Because it's a human instinct, and it's something that it obviously is rooted in you since you were a kid. We're wanting to be the best dressed or stuff like that because your mom doesn't want anybody else talking about her kids. So you kind of like trickle that down in like a generational trauma, so to speak. Not necessarily traumatic, but it's having to, you know, you want to look and be the best because you don't want to be perceived as anything less than, because there is that idea of like, if you don't look presentable or if you don't look quote unquote good, which is obviously subjective in a sense, but it's when you don't look based off of Eurocentric features or Eurocentric, you know, way, which is like that cleanliness vibe, it's obviously frowned upon. So I think rooted in all of us, we have to like look at nine all the time.
Yeah. The world would be a much better place if everyone just closed their eyes for a second.
Do it right now.
And just think about not caring. about what anyone has to say, has to do, nothing, nothing. Just close your eyes. Don't care for 1 second.
Even if you're driving, close it.
Just close your eyes. It's okay.
Are you walking? Close it.
No, for safety reasons.
No, close it. You need to imagine this now. Yeah. Well, it's the art.
You have to feel it.
You got to manifest the art of not giving a damn, right? So it's like what other people think of me is none of my business, right?
Yeah, just every day I feel like that's such an affirmation. Just don't care, because we waste time when we care. We waste energy. We waste hope. Like, everything is wasted the minute that you care what someone thinks or is going to say about you. And I've always dealt with that because I am the oldest child. And those who know, yeah.
Oh my God.
And those who know my mother.
Shout out to the diva.
She raised a good kid. That's all I'll say. But she was not an easy mom. And I already did an episode talking about my mom and our struggles, but she was a sergeant. Like,
she laid a foundation of discipline that I think is very hard for people to come by, even myself.
Yeah.
You know?
And there was always she would always kind of want to mold me a certain way so that others wouldn't like ridicule me, or so I wouldn't look dumb at school, or so my family in Colombia had nothing bad to say, like, oh, she's thriving, she's successful. And it puts a lot of pressure when you finally fail or when you hit a low blow in your life, because it's like, you know, like having to move back into my mom's house wasn't easy. And even just thinking about everyone in my family in Colombia hearing that, it's like, oh, great. Like, here, now they have something negative to say. Like, oh, she couldn't do it.
But in reality, back to the art of not giving a damn, people don't really care because they also have their own things going
exactly.
on. You know what I mean? You'd be surprised as to how many, that many positive reinforcement you would get besides negative, because the positive reinforcement of moving back in is like, oh, well, you got to save money.
Yeah.
The first thing is like, oh, well, that's good. You're not stressed out, you know?
Yeah.
Like, the first thing we think about is the freedom that you have, and not saying that you no longer have said freedom. It's just the idea of freedom, but you're not alone anymore. So you have to really take into consideration other people's feelings, time, and energy that you once would only just care about yourself. You kind of have to just have other people in mind, especially the people that you grew up with. So it's like, this is me now, but as an adult, and I moved away and I had those experiences, and you have to bring that coming back home.
Yeah. And it's not the end of the world, you know, to come back home for those that had to go back home.
Well, nostalgia isn't real, by the way, because I think what a lot of people do, me included, is you start to then reminisce about what was, but then you also forget to mention how your state of mind was back then. And I think being in a place where you're able to have a little bit of financial freedom can ease your mind a bit, as opposed to being so constrained to, oh, I'm not leaving my house because I have to make rent. And so I'm, you know, in a much negative place, right?
Yeah. I also think that a lot of what we deal with stems from childhood. And I think when I think about having my own children, I really want to instill in their minds.
Do you want to have children?
Yes.
How many children do you want to have?
Like 4.
Okay, that's a little.
Everyone knows that.
2.5.
If you know me, you know that Yancy wants to be a mom. But I need a man first, so.
We're taking callers right now at the moment.
Call the number.
Call the number here right now. 877-393-4448.
Hey. Wow. What was that?
Optimum. It was the 877-393 or 678-449-8212.
That's the number.
Oh,
actually.
800-588-2300. Empire today. I'm a phone book.
Today.
I have a phone book.
Come call me and let me know if you want a family. No, I'm just kidding.
Just straight off the bat, let me know if you want a family. Let me know if you want to, you know.
But yeah, I think we all need to do a big part for those of us who want to.
Sorry.
Like, you actually have problems.
Baddies.
I cannot. Oh my God.
Sorry.
Stay locked in. All right. You threw me off track with your big Dominican.
Big Dominican.
this guy.
If you know, you know.
Is self-confidence something you're born with or something that's developed? Now, really think about it.
No.
Because you could be born with it.
Maybe it's Maybelline. No. Well, I think you are born with... I think you're born without fear. Ooh, what? Clap if you have fear. No, you're born without fear. And I think the fear of looking stupid is what's holding you back, right? So I think as a child, it's like you're more prone to touch things you're not supposed to. You're more prone to go places where you're not supposed to. Like when I lived in DR and I would throw myself off like huge cliffs in the lake, I don't know if I could see myself doing that now, but I think it's because the fear through time gets more instilled into like, well, I don't want to get hurt. I don't want to break something.
Another
when you're younger.
Thing holds us back.
Yeah, when you were younger, that wasn't really a problem. I definitely think you're born with with confidence. And I think through time, it withers away based off of outside things. And even sometimes in your house. Think
careful.
About that. Think about that. I think sometimes, you know, your first bully is your family, right? So
yes.
Whether it be a thing of them trying to look out for you or them trying to, you know, oh no, we just want to make sure that you don't look too big. Or we, you know, you look fat in that. Or I think you look ugly in this, as a way of them trying to feel like they are caring when in reality it's something, that harsh truth, though it's something that I understand as a parent you're looking out for, it's not necessarily the best way to help or send your child out in the world, you know?
Yeah, I think it's very important how you said that you could potentially have been born with it, but an outside factor changed that.
Because it really chips out it.
Yeah, because if we look at fear and we break it down, I don't think we're born fearful, but I think the moment that we get scared or we feel hesitant towards something, that builds the fear. Now you go into that thinking... Like, let's say, for example,
it's like a phobia.
When I was younger, I was surfing and I hit a wave the wrong way. And I probably would have still been surfing if it wasn't for this accident. But you obviously have to tie the surfboard to your ankle.
Don't you hate that when you go surfing? Malibu home. I hate that.
But the wave hit me so strong that it flipped me upside down and I got stuck under the surfboard so I couldn't come up. And that was terrifying as is. And that was the last time I touched a surfboard. So now it's like, boom, fear.
That's all it took.
That's all it took.
No,
yeah.
That would do it for me.
Yeah, I definitely don't want to drown. That was very scary. And I've never done it again. And now I have a fear of, as much as I love the ocean, because it's this world we don't know of.
Yeah, like an ocean.
All around us.
Some might say it's an ocean.
Just might be an ocean.
Right. Allegedly.
It's
all alleged. Don't want to hear from the ocean people. We don't want to hear from them. Allegedly. This is all alleged.
But yeah, it's a scary beast. The ocean is beautiful, but it is a scary, scary beast. And it is powerful. And Godzilla's in there, but nobody has to know that.
No, please don't get me started on the kaiju. Don't get me started on the kaiju.
I don't even know what kaiju.
It's a kaiju. Merzik.
Jury.
No. We love Glorilla. She's one of our listeners. One of our good listeners.
Yes, I love her. Shout out Glorilla.
I know.
I love her.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Out of here.
I love Marissa. I love her. I can say fine.
No, I love her. Like,
I love her really fine.
I can't sit here and talk about Glorilla, but I definitely love her. Everything about her.
Did you know that people, I think it's from Tennessee, they have a closer relationship to the British accent?
I thought you were going to say God.
No. Well, everyone has a relationship with God. What are you doing? But I think, I believe it's in like Tennessee. I think the country you sound, the more closer relationship you have to Britain, like Britain.
Oh.
Gag it. What? Music. Merzik.
Jewelry.
It's close, isn't it?
It is close.
I could be really wrong. I don't care.
Yeah, I definitely think that I love Glorilla. But anywho.
What was the question? Do we love Glorilla?
The question was about self-confidence. So, yes, guys, we are going to stand on the fact that we are born with it.
It's Maybelline, yeah.
But an outside factor changes it.
Right.
And unfortunately,
or
9 times out of 10, yes. It is factors at home. So careful with the home. Keep that in mind.
Once you're born, get out of there. Get out of there.
Once you're born, buy a property.
Walk out. Walk out. If you're not buying property, sorry. Sorry.
Boss Baby isn't Boss Baby for no reason.
Oh, they needed a story from somewhere. They needed the plot from somewhere. Sorry.
Okay, next question. Do men feel comfortable expressing emotions in friendships, or is there still a stigma?
In a sense, I believe straight men, I do have straight friends who do disclose their feelings with me. I think it's because they feel comfortable around me. I do think that they don't have that same feeling amongst their other straight friends, because I think I don't necessarily know if feelings are a part of their main, you know, frame of friendship. I think with gay men is obviously much different. I do think it's much easier for me to be in tune with my emotions and speak about them. Granted, I do go to therapy, and I now know and am familiar with how to communicate about what I want and need. I don't know if straight men have an access to that yet, based on their own feelings, because I feel like everybody could go to therapy, especially men, but, you know, they don't necessarily think that's a, they don't, having no feelings is a much better way to live life. That's their way of thinking, I think.
How do you communicate your feelings? Actually, let me rephrase that. I want to know, before you started therapy and learned how to communicate your feelings, what did that look like? And what was that wall that kept you from communicating your feelings?
It wasn't necessarily a wall. It was a misunderstanding of where my feelings were coming from and how they were misplaced. So I think it's a thing of, I don't know why I'm sad. I don't know why I'm upset. I don't know why I'm going through these things. I don't know why I don't want to be here. I don't know why these things keep happening to me. And I think going to therapy, it's a better understanding of communicating about what you want, communicating about why you're sad, and everything in itself has a chain reaction. Whether you like to think about it or not, everything within you is all like ever flowing, and it's all pretty much they coexist with each other. So I think it's a domino effect, is what I'm saying. So if one asset fails, it'll pretty much affect everything. But you don't know that because you have a hard way of communicating and you don't know how to communicate. So I think with my therapist, he's shown me tools of how I'm able to communicate about certain things to make me feel better, whether it be communicating or letting people know ahead of time, hey, I'm upset, I need a break, or I need some time alone. I think will benefit me more than to just isolate people and have people confused as to why I did that versus giving them a heads up or, hey, I'm not going to be available, or I just need some space, is much better. These are tools that I've obviously learned through therapy, and some come easier than others. Some people don't need therapy to realize that, but I feel like a lot of people in the world do.
Do you feel like you can communicate your feelings to your family the same way you can communicate them to your friends?
I think it's a universal thing. I think it's all about setting boundaries within yourself that you'd have to implicate in all forms of life, whether it be with friends or family. And whether that be whether you don't like being yelled at, you know, that kind of thing. I think it works for both friends and family. And I think with family, though, it can get tricky. I think, again, having an open dialogue and communicating with your family, I think it's much easier than you think. But, you know, it all depends on how receptive your family is to receiving that, you know, because some people don't like that, you know, don't open my door without knocking. People, you know, parents feel like they could do that. You know, I think it's establishing certain boundaries that, though may seem tricky for parents to get adjusted to, they can't be shocked that they, you know, when you inevitably blow up or have a moment, why does that happen when you said it? You know, you've stated said boundary, you've learned how to communicate, you know?
Yeah. I think it's crazy that I didn't really understand the concept of boundaries until, I want to say maybe my, like, mid-20s.
Because you think it's wrong. You think it's wrong for you to be like, damn, why do I want this? Like,
yeah.
I feel like I'm hurting people by putting my foot down and or going off something that, for me, works and may not work for other people.
Yeah, that's why we should not give a damn.
The art of not giving a damn. Clap if you don't care. Clap if you don't care.
I'm clapping.
You know what I mean?
No, but seriously, it really falls back on giving
it's a domino effect. It's a domino effect.
It's all tied in together.
What is going to fuel you and not drain you? You know what I mean?
Yes. What is going to fuel you and not drain you? And what fulfills a purpose? You know, there's times where if you want to set boundaries, you have to think about, make sure it's fulfilling a purpose. Make sure that it's for you and not for anyone else. Because the older that you get in this life, the more alone you become in a sense. And the more you start really thinking about what it is that makes you happy, what it is that gives you peace. And one thing I will say about my dear friend Lolo here is that he is probably the number one person in my life that no matter what will protect his peace. You will not catch him where he doesn't want to be. You will not bring people around if he doesn't want to be around them. You will not get in the car with music he doesn't want to listen to. And it's nothing bad. It's just he knows what can send him off the rocker.
Well, I think it's, well, yes. Well, yes. But I think the important thing about it is that as I'm getting older, I don't want to spend any time in any place where I'm uncomfortable.
Yes.
And I think, let's say in school, you have to stay in school. Then, you know, you have to, you know, abide by rules. And I'm not saying that you have to be an unlawful citizen. What did that girl say from Housewives? I'm a model, but not always a model citizen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's, I don't want to live in any situation where I am uncomfortable. And I think if I have the ability to, you know, to switch things up or control that said narrative, if I don't want to go to a party that I know that I want to have fun with, I'm not going. If I know that there's going to be people that I don't necessarily care for, I don't want to go. And you can obviously, you can see it from another side of a coin where it's like, are you going to let people control where you go and go out? But it's like, if these people are there to begin with, why would I want to be there? You know what I mean? I love, you know, the comfort of being at home or even just hanging out with other people that I know that I'm going to have a good time with. If I know that I'm going to have a good time, by all means, I will go. And it's not saying that I'm not a people person, that I don't give people, you know, first tries or something like that. I do give things a try. But in giving said things a try, sometimes if you're not feeling it, why are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, why is you here? You know what I mean? Go home.
Pressure. For example, I've caught myself many times at outings that I want to leave because I get bored or I just don't relate to the people that are there. I don't want to sit there and have pointless communication. I actually want to talk about something. I am not saying I have to sit there and have these types of conversations,
right.
But I don't want to sit there and talk about boys. I don't want to sit there and talk about
I think it's finding things in common and finding a middle ground in things that you can talk about. Now, when those conversations don't become a thing that you are necessarily interested in, I think it becomes a thing of like you're being forced to be there. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
It's like, if you don't want to be, why are you staying? Why are you there? You know what I mean? Why confine yourself and why force yourself to have a bad time? And then you leave feeling like crap and you leave having different views over these people who you feel like held you hostage for like an hour. When in reality, you could just be like, yeah, no, I'm just going to head out. Why? I just don't want to be here.
Yeah, and that's okay. And yeah, exactly. I mean, you do it all the time.
I will read a comic book to filth. I just got into comic books. I love them. It's escapism for me. And it's one of the things where if I'm not with my cats, if I'm not being creative at home, I like to find, I find company in my solitude. You know what I mean? As much as it's a hard thing to get towards, once you're there, it's like, damn, I really prefer reading this comic than being out right now.
Yeah.
That's the thing that I don't like going out, you know?
It's a very hard thing. I used to never like being alone, and I would always have to be with someone, or I would always have to be doing something. And I will say one of the biggest blessings that I got from coming back home is that my dad built me this space, and I never want to leave. Not that I'm saying I never want to leave.
This place is amazing. She literally has a mini bar back there. You can't see it. She has a mini bar back there. For people, it's like it's a spirits. It's not actual, like, they're literally spirits. She has like moth apple juices back there. Like, it's so this place is actually amazing. And it's literally, even down to the color, it's such a calming, like,
yeah,
it's cold in here, but it's like a, it feels
snuggle up.
Exactly. Not with
snuggle
me.
Snuggle up.
Don't touch me. But I do, like, I like it. Like, there's a fireplace in here, a built-in fireplace. You can't see it. Maybe you could.
Yeah.
But that's built in. You kidding me?
It's definitely.
Hi, Carlos.
Gracias,
Carlos.
It's a peaceful space. It has me all over it. It has my people. It's just. It's
funny. There's not a single photo of me here.
There are.
Well, it's a new studio.
There are. It's your photos in that green bowl over there.
We might take a break and I'll look for them.
Okay.
If I don't find any, I'm leaving.
But I forgot what I was saying.
No, come back. Your peace, your oasis.
My oasis, yes. So being in this room, because it's the last floor in the house. Okay, guys, it's an attic. My parents' house has a pretty decent-sized attic that became my room / recording studio for this podcast. I feel my safest here. I feel my calmest. It's high up, so I don't really hear anything when everyone's home. My family's not loud to begin with, except my brother when he's gaming in his room. But when I get invited to do things now, before I would be so willing and I'd be like, oh, yeah, I've been there. Hell yeah, guys, I'm going, whatever it is. Now,
I'm going to Tampa, Florida.
It takes me forever to decide because I just sit here. Like, do I really want to do that? Do I really want to socialize? Do I really want to do the most?
And I do think, and again, I'm not to say that, we're not saying that socializing is not important. And I'm not saying that you should, but I do think choosing and knowing that when you go out, like I feel like you owe it to yourself to have fun every single time you go out.
I think it's also knowing when and how to distribute your energy.
Okay.
Because sometimes you want energy for you.
Right.
So that's okay. And you don't have to feel this pressure of being the yes girl, the yes man. Like, yes. Exactly.
Well,
you can say no.
Nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you can say no. I actually, you know, I'm not going to make it. And stay home and do whatever. Lolo wants to stay home and read a comic book. Maybe Yancy wants to sit home and take selfies of herself after she does her hair and makeup. Who knows?
Something. You can. Look under your desk. You know what I mean? You can.
Yeah, you can. You literally can. So stop feeling these societal pressures, these people pressures of having to please and having to say yes and having to do the most. Just think about you.
At the end of the day, the strawberry mint hookah is going to make you lightheaded. And you're going to end up throwing up. So now you feel like crap because you're outside. And now if you would have stayed home, you would not have to deal with that.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
And honestly, you're going to start the Monday looking at your bank account, just thinking, wow, what brunch would have cost?
Oh, I don't want to say that because I will, in bed, make a couple purchases. You know what I mean?
Well, you just have
got a couple loofahs.
Amazon problem.
I got a couple loofahs. I'm really excited about.
You know this guy.
Well,
it's not, I will say, it's not even a problem because everything he's ever shown me that he gets,
it has a purpose.
And I'm always like,
it has a
purpose. Where did you get that?
You didn't think you'd need that until you have it and you're like, oh, this is nice. Like I have a floating shelf that you put on the wall next to your bed because I don't have any like coffee tables. And it's nice where I'm like, oh, I know where the remote is. I know where all this stuff is. Again, you don't need it. It's ridiculous. But when you have it, you're like, what? This is Xenon Z3. I'm living in the future.
Yeah, it just makes it that much easier. Next
question. A comforter
question.
With pockets. I have that.
A comforter with pockets?
Yeah, so like with your remote or your phone, you just put it in the pocket of the comforter.
Oh, that's a good one.
Think about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Kids are hiding snacks in their pillowcases, so maybe we need to.
Not just kids. I do the same thing.
Is modern masculinity too fragile or is society too critical of them?
It's always been fragile. Whoa, it's always been fragile. There are a certain few that are obviously secure within their sexuality and with who they are that it obviously doesn't faze them. But those are far and few. And the people that we have had the pleasure to be around are not like that, you know? So I think it all depends on the friendships that you established beforehand. Like, I know that there's a lot of friendships that I've had and have kept up with, not now, but that I've had in the past, that because I wasn't out yet per se, though obviously everybody knew. But, you know, without having that declaration, I think having those friendships, because that's the only reason. But I can't admit that I've had lost friends because I'm gay, or some friends won't hang out with me because I'm gay and they don't want people to assume that they're gay because they're hanging out with me. You know, which is a real thing, and I have gotten that. You know what I mean?
Not like that.
Well, again, it, obviously, you then have to then reevaluate your friendships. And though it's something that I didn't expect to hear, it's very interesting knowing that, because it'll save me the ability to, like, all right, well, I don't really have to pour into this friendship as I thought I would. You know what I mean? So it's like, I already held you to a lower standard because you were a straight man. So now that this is how you feel, it's like, well, I don't really feel the need to entertain this, right?
Yeah. Can you define for those people that do not understand what modern masculinity is?
I can only go by my definition.
And that's all we need.
I can only go by my definition. And I think that modern masculinity now, based off of certain events that have transpired, obviously with people, you know, obviously new presidents and stuff like that, I think with a certain masculinity is that kind of the feeling of constant power without any regard towards anyone else. And I think masculinity at this point in time, though you can see some growth, I think it hasn't moved anywhere since, you know, that, oh, again, there's some people who still wouldn't hang out with me because I'm gay, or they'll keep me at a distance, or at a party it's fine, but one-on-one is a little, yo, what you was doing hanging out with this person? You know what I mean?
Yeah, or even when it comes to one of your friends inviting you to their house.
Because you seem to forget. It's like, you were also ugly. You know what I mean? So it's like, what? Because I'm gay, I don't have standards anymore. You're also ugly. And I knew that. I knew that before I came out, after I came out, that I've never took it into consideration because I've considered you my friend, my brother, that kind of thing. But I think the line is blurred when it's like, you know, a straight man is like, whoa, now I feel like you see me differently. I don't. I actually see you uglier. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's kind of it does suck, you know, because you do lose friends that way, and you realize that, damn, this is really, that's a fragile masculinity kind of thing. But, you know, it's they're also missing out on not only me, but like the world, right?
Do you feel like it's safe to say that we don't see masculinity enough these days?
We do see it. We do see it all the time. And I think, at least for me, it's easy for me to distinguish that, whether it be people based off of my cadence or how I walk or how I talk. I know that men specifically are like looking at me, and you can tell that it's not necessarily the most favorable way. And it's because I obviously am 6'3", and I am, you know, I'm a bigger guy. It's obviously something that they don't expect, and they obviously resort to ridiculing and or like laughing. And I'm, you know, they don't do it in front of me, obviously, but I do see that still.
Okay. So now I kind of just want to recap everything that we've gone through before we hit our last two questions, because it's not going to be very gender specific, the last two. So for our listeners, what you should take from this, if you're a man, one, don't be afraid to feel your feels. Okay, that's number one. Like, it's okay, dude. I mean, everyone gets sad. Everyone wants to cry a little sometimes. If you don't like what you see in the mirror, you're not the only one. We all go through it. If you're a straight man who does not like gay men, in my opinion, you just need to grow up, okay? Be a better person. That's
not even just gay men. It's just things that you aren't accustomed to. I think it's better for you to at least respect it and not try to go against it. Because I think that's what men usually do, is to go against something that they don't like.
Yeah. And I think you just...
Not don't like, they don't know.
Yeah. Don't like, don't know, and you're just caring too much, you know? Everyone, at the end of the day, lives their own life. So as long as the other person is being respectful to you, I think the only thing you owe them back is respect as well. You know, maybe it doesn't tie in with your views of what people should and should not be doing, but at the end of the day, if it is not causing you any harm personally,
why do you care?
Why do you care?
And it's the art of not
giving a damn.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It all comes
and that
back.
Goes for everybody.
Don't care. What is, like, again, what do you think of me? I don't think of you at all. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
don't care.
It's that easy.
Just don't care. Care about you. Care about you. Be there for you. Take care of you. You. Okay? You plus you equals what?
I. You know what I mean? Care. Care about Care Bears. You know? Like,
yes. Care about Care Bears.
Care Bears.
Not who's over there.
How do you feel like Care Bears? You know what I mean?
Yo, bring those back.
Well, remember the ones that used to smell?
Yes.
But like drool. Anyway, you can go.
Oh, gross. Well, yeah. Just, you know, let's stop giving a damn. Let's be present in our feelings and...
Or don't be. It's okay to not be. But just focus on yourself and not on others because, and even then, even if you feel like other people are thinking about you, no one cares because a lot of people have their things going on.
Yeah. That is the final note. Nobody cares.
Nobody
Trust
cares.
Trust me. Even down to your bestest friends, nobody cares.
I don't care about this podcast.
They're going to think.
What? No.
Well, the only one that has to care is me. Ooh. Okay, we're going to take it there.
Uh-oh.
But that's true. Wait. I mean, it's my podcast, so I have to care for it. Clearly, my friends care about it because they're willing to participate in it.
Well, I thought I was getting paid. Anyway.
We're not getting paid. We're not there yet.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Soon, though.
Okay.
Let's get Glorilla on here.
Oh, again.
Jerk.
I'm sorry.
Okay. We're going to finish it up with these last two. Why do people ghost instead of communicating? And is ghosting ever justified?
People ghost.
Okay, wait a minute. Because everyone, I have listeners who are not within our generation. So if you don't know the term of ghosting, Lolo, define it.
Is when you actually go through a demonic ritual in which you sacrifice and release
your
soul from Casper the Ghost. No, but ghosting is when you, when you're not feeling something, whether it be whether it be with relationships, whether it be with work, whether it be with something that you don't like, as opposed to being upfront and communicating that you don't like that, or would rather just go or look a different direction, you just stop replying
and
overall. It just disappears like a ghost, like Casper the Friendly Ghost. Well, not so friendly.
Not
ghost.
So friendly, yeah. No, but just like him.
Right. Bald.
So is it okay?
No. I mean, it's never okay. Do we also do it? 1,000%. I'm not going to lie and say that I haven't done that. But I think as growing before, it was more capable of doing that. I think as the older I get, the more empathetic I get. Because at the same time that I'm doing it to people, I can't lie and say here that it hasn't happened to me. Oh, strip that down. You know what I mean? Like, that has happened to me. And I think it's led for me to become more empathetic, and whether it be a thing of just not interested, or whether it be like, again, being offered a job that you can see that down the line is going to be an issue, just bowing out as opposed to just ghosting, you know, and being more upfront, and because it leaves the door open for other things.
Yes, be upfront and communicate.
Are you going to do it? No, but you know what I mean. I think that you have to look at the possibilities of what would happen if you are communicate and upfront.
Yes. In a professional setting, definitely, definitely, definitely do not just ghost unless you had some crazy, terrible experience that qualifies at a lawyer office. But if not, in a professional setting, never ghost. Now, when it comes to personal relationships, ghosting is not okay also, in my opinion. I hate ghosting. It's happened to me. I am guilty of doing it as well. I think there's one person that I've recently, towards the end of last year.
Say their names.
No.
Well, I don't know.
I can say his name. And if he listens to it, he'll know it's him. But it's about G. So, and that's all I'm going to say because that's how I call him. But I ghosted him. Yes, I blocked him everywhere and I ghosted him. And I have not spoken to him. And I know that he's probably thinking, what? I mean, where did she go? What? Why did that happen? But I just felt like I kept having too much access to him to walk into my life that was getting me nowhere. And although I could have said, hey, listen.
I'm not feeling it. No, I
don't even want to do the friendship. I just
you
need to disappear.
No, yeah.
He's not the individual that would get that.
Right.
Okay. So it would just have turned back to me and it would have been a toxic gaslighting moment.
Is there anything you'd like to say to G right now?
I hope that you're well. You know, I'm well. So I hope you're well. And I will always cherish our best memories. But I
go that far.
Anyway, I don't go back on my decision. So I just want to state that because I feel like a hypocrite if I say ghosting is not okay and I just did it. But I have my own purpose for that. And I constantly think, what if I run into him? Isn't that going to be so awkward? I can literally run into him whenever. And I'm the party that just disappeared like Casper. What would I say? Do I even say anything? Do I just walk away?
Anyway, I want to also acknowledge something that someone that I've ghosted.
Okay.
Jackie from CVS Pharmacy. You know what? Listen, I feel like you were great. You were really cool. I just didn't want to work there anymore. And it was a CVS Pharmacy that I didn't have to go to anymore. It was really far from me, so I didn't have to go. I just found that place to be so boring. And you had to wake up so early.
Yeah.
So I literally just like, I remember someone asking me, do you find yourself going there again? And I said, no. He's like, well, then don't go. And I listened to them and I just never went back. And Jackie, if you're listening to this, you were so cool. My beef was not with you. It was with Elizabeth. But she wasn't really like, again, it was not that she was boring. She just wasn't a good time. You know what I mean? And everybody smoked and smoked cigarettes. I wasn't smoking. You know what I mean? So definitely like I ghosted her and I would definitely apologize. You know?
Wow. She'll appreciate that.
Yeah.
You did so good just now.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Also, it's not Jackie, my friend, right? It's Jackie from CVS.
Well, they don't know that it's Jackie, your friend. It's Jackie from CVS.
Jackie from CVS.
Right. I hope that's her name.
Yeah. So we're going to work on the art of not giving a.
Damn.
And we're also going to try not ghost like Casper the ghost.
No, I've been really good at that. I mean, I'll make up a lie and say why I'm ghosting, but it's not like I won't ghost.
Yeah, that's good.
Saving, you know what I mean?
That's good.
I turned it to a ghost and I can't communicate. I can't use a keyboard anymore because I'm a ghost, so I can't work for you anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. Sometimes things just happen.
Let it rip. No, right.
Okay, last question. Has social media made it harder or easier for people to connect in real life?
It's made it much easier to... Oh, in real life. Ooh. I think it's a stepping stone. It should be classified as a stepping stone and should be something that is initiated and ultimately leading up to a real life situation where it's like you met on Instagram, met on Twitter, met on Snapchat, but I think the goal is to meet in person. I feel like if it stays there, I think it's up to you to identify when you feel like something is stagnant and be like, all right, well, I gotta go. I don't want to be here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that's something that I think the individual person has to identify, but I don't necessarily think it's a problem. I think it's a stepping stone if you look at it that way.
I think in the business world, it has made it a lot easier
right.
for people to connect in real life. Okay, that's all I'm going to say on that behalf of it. On the other side of it, I think I stand on what you're saying, but I also think that we've kind of normalized having these social media relationships where I'll follow someone for years and I'll like their pictures. We'll interact. We're Instagram friends. But we have never hung out a day in our life.
Yeah, they look at you like a zoo animal. Like, you feel like it's a zoo animal. Watch.
Yeah.
You feel like you're being watched.
Yeah. And I know about their life. You know, I'm very in tune because we constantly are seeing each other's social medias. But I've never met them, nor do I see myself ever hanging out with them. And that's so crazy. Yeah. It's like, you know what those things when we were younger? Pen pals. Yes. It's like a pen pal.
It is like a pen pal. But I think what happens is, like, obviously you have to take into account, you know, geographical thing. If it's like, I have friends in LA that I would love to hang out with, but I can't. You know what I mean? So I think it depends on that, A. And I think it depends ultimately whether or not those are people who you want to keep. You want people to keep tabs on, and or like, do you feel comfortable them keeping tabs on you, right? So it's like, if you feel weird about that, if you feel weird about certain people that you just following for so long, or you've known and have fell off with, but they still follow you, it's a thing of like, well, are you okay with that? Is that something you would want? Because what's the point? The art of not giving a damn, unfollow them.
Well, it's not even people I've ever met. It's just people that have followed me for years. I've never, ever seen them in person. ever.
Well, I mean,
spin my Instagram,
but well, but again, then that, but that's what they could only categorize. I feel like they could just be Instagram friends. That could just be a mutual.
Yeah,
they call them. We call them as a mutual, like, you know, a mutual that you're friends with or that you've met only online. You know,
it's definitely making it hard to connect in real life in general, guys. Social media, all these dating apps. It's just so weird. I mean, I say it every episode. People don't know how to have conversations anymore. People don't know how to have conversations. People just don't know how to...
Well, is social media really to blame?
Yes.
Okay.
Because we don't interact. There is no such thing as authenticity, like, when it comes to meeting people. There is no such thing as how we all met when we were younger. We didn't have Instagram and all that stuff at that point. We're not getting into that.
No, we met.
That's my line.
I thought she didn't like me. She gave me such a big attitude when she first came here.
Wow.
Yeah, you did. I said hi to you and you gave me a real stink face through the door.
Okay. Well, I've grown. Also, I will just say that if I treated him that way, it's because I left the suburbs. Moved to what I'm not saying anything bad about Prospect Park. I moved to this town called Prospect Park, and I don't consider it the hood. It's suburban. In my opinion, it's suburban. It's just more cultural. That's
okay.
Because that's literally, Prospect Park is a cute little town. However,
it was a cultural
When I walked in there, the amount of hate that I got from just saying hello.
Right, yeah.
I mean, the rumors and everything was insane for it to just be an eighth grader. And it's crazy because a lot of those people are very, like, in tune with me now. Like, they're, you know, they'll like my pictures. They'll comment on my stuff. It's like, oh, yay. Like, woo, go Jens. But you were drawing on, like, I missed school one day. This is going to be brief. I missed school one day, like, first 2 weeks of school. And I went back to school the next day, and all over my desk and all over my notebooks, a group of five girls had written all over it how I was a slut, a whore, and all the things that you could name. And guys, I was none of the above. But anyways, that's why I had that type of attitude, because I felt very intimidated. And that was the first time that I was around so many Hispanics. So to take a girl from the suburbs who's around white people and has never had these issues, and then you stick me with my kind, and they're vicious, and they're rude, and they're hateful.
Alondra, Yahaira, and Indira.
Yes, that was very, like, alarming. I mean, that just opened my eyes to a lot of things. Yeah, because I'll tell you right now, my white girls could never.
They could, but they do it in a way that's more in your face. I feel
my white girls could never. Shout out to Emily. Emily, we love you. Everybody loves you.
I love you, Emily. I don't know who you are.
Yeah. You've met her, no?
I don't know.
Okay, well,
maybe.
Anywho, that's all I'm going to say. And that's a whole different episode, right? Okay? When we talk about hate on hate within the same culture.
That's bonus content on the Patreon, so make sure to sign up for that.
But, yeah, get out more. Get out more. Start a conversation. I'm trying to work on that right now because, I mean, it's not that social media is affecting me in that way. I've just become so socially anxious outside that I can have these conversations. And if you come up to me, I promise you, we'll have the best talk.
Will you smile at me now?
Yes. I can't initiate it. It's so hard. I mean, even when it comes to, there's like a cute boy in the gym, and I don't know what I would say. If he came up to me, I think I'd freak out. Or not freak out, but I think I'd just be like, this is crazy. And I don't know.
Think about it this way. It doesn't have to be as crazy as you think it'll be, because I feel like you'll gain everything from doing that and lose nothing if you... I don't know if the... Did you get what I'm saying?
Gain everything from doing that and lose nothing from not?
Sure.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like, I don't think, like, you're not going to, you know, you don't know what friendship or relationship will flourish from that situation.
Yeah.
And then what's the worst that can happen? It's just something that you tried and you put yourself out there. And when, you know, it could work out to your favor or not work out to your favor, what's going to happen? You continue on with your day, you know?
Yeah.
But again, it's more easier said than done. And I think finding a common ground, like going to the gym or using the same machines, you know, can obviously lead to a conversation, right? So it's just finding that little perfect balance there.
Yeah, finding the little perfect balance and knowing
like,
that.
Yeah, that girl stinks, right? You know what I mean? Like that kind of thing. Like,
oh my god.
Yeah, no, I reek. You know what I mean? Like, just get into that.
Imagine comes up to me and tells me I smell.
Like, hey, you dropped your AirPod. You know what I mean? He's like, I don't have AirPods, but you bought AirPods specifically.
Oh, my bad.
No, you bought AirPods specifically to drop. Yeah.
Wow, it's a good move.
Yeah. So, trademark.
Well, I will try to work on that. And yeah, I think that concludes this episode. I hope that you guys got some good pointers from us. I appreciate you taking the time to do this with me. I hope that you're a guest in the future again.
I'll send you my invoice. My people call your people.
Yes, my people will definitely call your people. I mean, you're so hard to reach. But that's true.
Protect your peace. Protect your peace.
Don't give a damn. Express your feelings if necessary, right? Don't feel pressured. And that's it, guys. Just vibe it out. Have a great week.
Perfect.
And remember, listen to Glorilla at least once a day. And I promise you, you'll be happier.
Okay. Bye.
Time?
Oh,
he was already ready to leave.
That's not for debate. No, I had a great time. I love the studio space. I love being here with you. I am very proud that you're doing this. And the equipment is so legit. Like, I'm holding a mic. You know what I mean?
Well, thank you. This was awesome. And I love you. And happy birthday.
I love you too. Wow.
Happy birthday to you.
We're not doing the whole thing. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to my podcast. My name's been Yancy Bolanos, and this has been, what is it, Rough and Dirty?
Really?
No.
You know.
A podcast.
Down and Dirty.
It's going down.
You better know what it is, guys.
In the club.
It's going down.
Please outro with us.
Okay.